help me. It's like the walls are caving in. Sometimes I feel like giving up, but I just can't. It isn't in my blood.
Hey, it's Michaela from iWork. We're back for part three of IBD and I. Over the past two nights, I've been telling you about my journey with Crohn's disease, one that has spanned over 15 years, which is crazy now that I think of it. We've also had some of the most amazing IBD nurses, clinical psychologists, and gastroenterologists on with us, as well as Emma Gallagher, Cara O'Donovan, and Sinead Lawless, who are three other ladies battling with an IBD every single day. Now, Cara, she is a champion, like in every sense of the word. Cara has gone through her battle with Crohn's disease in an amazing way, and she also did not give up what she loved, which was kickboxing, because she is a world champion. And Cara, more than anybody, would know the difficulties that ensue when it comes to traveling. So something I only learned 2 years ago, actually, when I was going to holiday in Sri Lanka, I decided to get medical insurance, because I was like, right, it's a lot of spicy food in Sri Lanka. If my Crohn's is going to act up anywhere, it will probably be here. And the more I looked into it, I realized that the regular medical insurance or travel insurance, it did not cover me because I have Crohn's disease. So I was like, great, okay, I really need to get cover. What am I going to do? So I looked into it a little bit more. And let me tell you, if you have an illness, travel insurance, wow, it's a lot. Like, what I had to pay to cover me for just over 2 weeks in Sri Lanka was the same amount as the flights. It's crazy. And if I hadn't done research into it, I wouldn't have known this. I would have been completely unaware. So there are a lot of issues that way in regards to insurance, and then in regards to traveling, that Cara knows quite a lot about. So Cara, I assume with you it's the same as me, that, you know, when we're going somewhere, it has to be planned to a T. We have to, well, now that I have the bag, I don't so much, but like, we kind of have to work our days around when we eat. I always have to know where there's a toilet, always, at all times. I'll get really anxious if I don't know where one is, because you just have to know. Is it the same with you?
Yeah, well, this year I haven't been traveling so much, but in general, like with sport, yeah, I travel a good bit. So it's got better. So when I was very sick, and even kind of prior to being diagnosed and that time after it, it was a nightmare. Like, I used to fly over to competitions and not being prepared enough and not kind of planning what I was going to eat, and eating something that I know now that I can't eat would have me so sick that I couldn't even compete the next day. Like, so the whole traveling process, like not just the going through the airports and that sort of thing, the whole time where I'm away in a different country, in a different diet, like I have to be a lot more careful about that. But now that it's managed well, like I'm a bit more flexible. But I've just renewed my travel insurance for the year for some bizarre reason. I don't know where I think I'm going. But so when I first got out my annual travel insurance, and I was filling up the questions, and I filled it up to include like personal illness or whatever, not just the baggage, like to cover my bags kind of stuff. And when the quote came back, it was flipping huge. Like, it was as if I was going on a 5-star holiday trip around the world, and like, it was just too expensive. So like, I knew then I wasn't going to be covered from that point of view. It's just no point. But that was the biggest acceptance prior to having Crohn's disease, that because I would have always been a really big planner, and I still am. Like, I still like to plan a little bit ahead, but you just can't plan for this. Like, the Crohn's disease just goes, like, I've got other plans for you. Like, it's just literally like, you want to train today, hold my beer. So like, you don't get to. So I definitely have days where I think I'm training at 6 a.m. and then you wake up and you're just dead. And you might not even have like a typical flare up where you're like, I vomit a lot and get a lot of ulcers. Like, that'd be me at my worst. but you could just be shattered, or your B12 would be on the floor, like, or be completely gone like that. Because forever, and I'm going to sound like I'm going to make a hand of this because I'm not a medical expert, but I know where my Crohn's is in the part of the intestine. It's where I absorb B12. So I can't actually absorb it through food. So like once every year, I know my levels would be really low. So yeah, so like you'd have days where you think you're doing one thing and then your body's like, not a chance. So you have to just factor that in.
There are lots of different resources available for people with IBD, which I didn't really know that much about. Well, no, that's a lie. I knew about it. I just didn't actively participate in any of it until recent months. I remember when I first got diagnosed with Crohn's and people told me that there were these groups and whatever on Facebook and online, and I was like, okay, grand. So I must have just went on to the wrong one, to be honest with you. I went on and I was already so scared. I was like, oh my God, what is my life going to be? Is it going to be normal? Can I do everything I wanted to do? Like, does this make me different? Like, how am I affected? Like, what do I have to do? You kind of feel like you're drowning. And I went on to a Facebook page, which I will leave unnamed. And basically they were saying that getting diagnosed with Crohn's disease is a death sentence and nobody lives through it. And to see those words, I know I'm laughing now, but it's not funny. To see those words in front of you when you've just been diagnosed with this disease, you didn't really listen when your professor and your medical team were talking to you and you're Googling and all sorts of mad stuff is coming up. It's not helpful. It's very scary and it can lead you to a very, very dark place, which it kind of did with me. Then after I had my surgery in March and I got my stoma, I did, instead of Googling life with a stoma and whatnot, because I knew the answers would probably be somewhat similar and I just wasn't strong enough to cope with that, I researched, you know, Irish charities, etc., to see what was out there. And I found the Irish Crohn's and Colitis Society. And they are just such wonderful people. They have amazing resources. There's just so much that they do for you if you know the service is there. Now, Emma has done a lot with the ISCC, and I suppose it's best to let Emma tell you more about it.
I'm very proactive sort of person in my life in general. So when I get presented with any problem or if there's something that sparks my interest, I go 110% at it. And this is my habit, and I've had to unlearn this actually since getting sick. I've had to kind of fight a bit with this because there's only so many hours in a day and you've only so much energy, and you have to be really selfish with that energy, I think, when you're managing a chronic illness. But so my instinct straight away, and my consultant had said to me, so you can get information from the ISCC. So my instinct was just like, what can we do? So like I fired off an email to the Minister for Health, who was my local TD at the time, saying, why don't we qualify for any long-term illness? Like, what the hell is going on? Because when I got my drug payment scheme, it's still your 124 every month. And then on top of that, I was getting blood. So you know the way when you start on the different medications, you'd get bloods every week. And that was another €25 because I don't have a medical card, won't qualify for a medical card. So you were looking at kind of €224 per month. Emailed him and got the generic back. Like, we're reviewing, yada, yada, yada. I'm like, well, review quicker, sweetheart, because I'm not getting better anytime soon. And then I contacted the ISCC and then they invited me along. And Ciarán in there was really sweet. And they invited me along to a few meetings. And then they were like, oh, you have a degree in English. Would you like to do the newsletter? I was like, okay. And in a way, I'll be honest, it was super to have something because I felt a bit bloody useless. Like, you know, I wasn't able to do what I was supposed to be doing. So it gave me something to do and I enjoyed it. And I went to different, to the conference and met some cool people who were doing mad cycling 10 million miles to raise money for Crohn's and climbing 5 mountains. And I was like, how are they doing this? But they were brilliant and really just deadly, like, and a woman who brought a case to make sure that Crohn's be recognised and IBD would be recognised as part of disability and had pushed kind of, you know, some really cool people like who had done a lot. And then just people who were sort of not dissimilar to myself, were very 110% kind of people and had done a lot, and then suddenly had this massive interruption into how they were living, and kind of were as shocked and as stunned as maybe I was at, like, whoa, we can't be the way we are. Our personality type is not a good fit.
So life isn't all doom and gloom with an IBD. Look, it is hard. Like, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to say it's all roses, because it's not. It's absolutely not all roses. And there are days where I really, really wish I didn't have it. And, you know, when I look forward, yeah, I'm worried about the day I get married, if that ever happens. Like, will it behave? Like, I'm worried if I have children, will they get it? Like, there are so many additional worries that having an IBD, should I say, brings into your life. But there are some positives as well. And there are some things that I have learned that maybe I wouldn't necessarily know if it wasn't for having an IBD. And for me, I suppose what I've learned is you really learn who is there for you. Like, you really learn who those amazing people are. The people who, you know, you ring and you're like, okay, there was an accident. I had an accident on the way to yours. And they deal with it without even batting an eyelid. They don't make you feel any sort of way. They don't make you feel embarrassed. They don't make you feel anything. They're just kind of like, okay, go sort that out and everything will be normal again, and it's fine. And people who visit you every single time you're in hospital, every single time, they know, you know, what pajamas you like and what candles you like and what chocolates you like, and they're there for you. And they know when you say you can't go out because you're not feeling well, that you can't. I have some of the most amazing people who they literally leave, like, my go-to foods are waffles and ready salted crisps, and they'll leave them outside my apartment door. And, like, I'm getting a bit emotional thinking about it. I don't think I ever would have realised the people who I have in my life, the people who are so phenomenal, if I didn't have an IBD. I suppose I want to ask Cara, Sinead and Emma what they have learned from having an IBD, what positives they've learned from having an IBD, and, you know, if they could give advice to anyone who has a loved one with an IBD, what would that be?
For anyone that may have a friend or somebody with, like, IBD, the biggest thing I found, or the hardest thing to get around, especially with people that we've been friends with but maybe not, like, very, very close to me, is that I'm not just a flaky person. Like, there's a chance that I'll cancel plans or I'm just not able to go somewhere, and, like, people are just like, oh, here she goes again. Like, so a bit more understanding on that. It's not just that they're bad timekeepers, their time management, like, they're probably really sick and they just don't want to talk about it or whatever. So that's one thing I'd say. And then I guess if somebody is getting diagnosed, stay away from Google. Just, I guess, get help. Your body doesn't really lie to you. Like, there's always signs, and just listen to it. Like, and even listen to your instincts. Like, if somebody's telling, like, in your case, it took you so long to get diagnosed, if you feel like there's something wrong, you know, keep following up on it, because I think we all know our own bodies the best.
A key word is flexibility, and you have to have flexibility built into everything. And, like, even me and you, Michaela, like, we planned to have this conversation, and sure, I think this is, like, the third, I mean, because I ended up being in hospital, what are the chances, put my back out with surgical socks, no, but, like, do you know what I mean? So it's flexibility just becomes a necessity. And if there's someone out there who has a loved one with IBD, you have to learn to be flexible. And again, like, saying to them again, you're not flaky and you're not a burden, because people, I certainly have felt like a burden a lot, because when your freedom is taken away and when your ability to earn is taken away, your confidence goes down, your self-esteem, it's a spiral. And mental health is so important. And, you know, I think it's very important as well. I think having a therapist is very important. Somebody professional that you can speak to, because you will burn your friends out. Your friends can't really relate, and they will try because they love you, but they can't really relate. It's important to have a professional to speak to, and people who are in the community who can understand what you're going through. But I personally would highly recommend recommend having a professional as well. It doesn't have to be weekly. It can be once a month. It can be something regular that you can say, okay, I have this outlet. So therapy is very important, I find.
Look, what everyone learns if you go through this, you're resilient. You're way more resilient than you think you are. You're tougher than you think you are. You're more empathetic than you think you are. And living through this gives you a chance to actually realize that and to point to something and say, wow, okay, not everybody could do that. And hell, if you'd asked me a month before it all happened, would I be able to do it? I'd be like, no. So that definitely, and grit, like you develop some serious grit through going through all this. So that's nice. But you do also learn that other people are kinder than you think. And other people are more in it with you than you might think sometimes. And the community is everything, and you find your community, like, and whether that's ISCC or whether it's through doing programs or whether it's like that, just talking to the person beside you in the waiting room when you're going in and they kind of have a story to tell and you tell your story. I think you find a community, and that connection is really critical.
I also think it is only fitting that we ask our amazing IVD nurses what they think of IVD patients, along with our gastroenterologist, Karen. Like, what are their thoughts on IVD patients? Is there particular traits in them that they admire? Have they learned anything, you know, that might be, you know, it's a grand generalization of IBD patients, but is there anything they have noticed throughout their years working in this industry, in this field?
Resilient, I'd say, actually. And that's out of necessity and sometimes can be a challenge. Like, I sit at the end of patients' beds sometimes trying to explain to somebody how sick they are because they don't see it themselves. And that's a really hard thing, actually. And that happens at least once a week.
People with inflammatory bowel disease, they're really strong. They're really resilient. They respect what you tell them. They value your opinion. They value the way that I think we deliver the news to them. Over time, I suppose, when you're an inflammatory bowel disease nurse, you're a constant in their lives. So if they don't get the message the first time, if they miss a part of it, they learn that it's okay to come back and ask questions and ask questions again.
I think that they are an amazing cohort of people because to cope as well as they do with what they do. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I think inflammatory bowel disease has got to be one of the most difficult chronic diseases to live with. They're very appreciative of the help that they get when they're unwell. They're very open about their symptoms, and I think I work with an amazing group of people.
Incredibly resilient, actually, and really resourceful and really good at knowing how to look after themselves. And I mean that in the way that they know what meets their needs and they know what's kind of what doesn't.
It is very tough, you know, and you can't get around that. It is also tough and it's a big thing. But it's very manageable at the same time. And it's just trying to get people to those goals and get them. You know, it's not a death sentence, far from it. It's all about it fitting into your life. And I think that's very important. You have lots of people out there that have achieved so much in their life and still have IBD. There's nothing holding me
back. Thank you so much for joining me for this three-part series, IBD and I. There are times where I have been quite emotional, and there are times where I've been quite happy, and I'm really happy that you were here to experience this journey with me. IBDs, I hope you've learned today, they can affect every aspect of you and every aspect of your body. However, you can live life with an IBD. You might have to take a couple of detours. It might not be straightforward, and yes, there are going to be days where you really, really, really wish you didn't have one, but you do. And you know what? You're not alone. We are all in this together. I have learned from doing this documentary that most of us with IBDs have a very dark sense of humor because it's the only thing that gets us through. And we are all badass, powerful people who manage to get through every day, even though our body is fighting against us. So if you have an IBD, you're amazing. If you are able to love and support someone who has an IBD, You're also amazing. Thank you so much for listening to IBD&I, and I hope that you've learned just a little bit from this series. And I suppose I will catch you back on my regular slot talking about Shawn Mendes tomorrow morning from 10 a.m. Until then, slán.
As I said, if you wanted to be an astronaut when you were 16, you should still go for it, you know? Baby, there's nothing
holding me back. IBD&I is a three-part series which has been funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.